is Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radulitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, good morning, my friend. Good to see you.
Hey, good morning. Do you know how much great pleasure I take in watching you do the opening to that show?
To what show?
This one.
Oh, to this show?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why do I what do I look like?
It's not what you look like. It is the level of consistency that you exude over the last 3.5 years that I find fascinating.
I love this show. And you know what? People love this show.
I don't know. I hope so.
I do. I know they do. Believe me. They'll tell me, even with the morning show I do, they'll tell me when I've hit a home run, and they'll tell me when it stunk. So,
have you ever had a show that just stunk?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, not so much the guests or the topics, but me.
You?
Yeah.
I see, because I only see you on a limited basis.
There's a couple of times
I listen to you quite a bit, but I've never heard you go like icky.
Yeah. A few times.
Okay. Well, you're only human.
But it's good that that you can't pick up on it. I can, obviously, but if you're telling me as a listener that you can't pick up, we all are humans. We don't have a great day every day, but I try to make a conscious decision or look at it where people have their own troubles. They don't need to know mine, and they look to me to start their just I'm the beginning of their day. So I have a responsibility and an obligation to make sure that it remains positive. So whatever I am going through or may be going through or whatnot should not be a reflection on the show, you know.
Yeah.
That's all.
That was deeper than I had anticipated, but thank you for sharing.
Really the only answer I could give to you that without lying.
No, it's actually, and it was a very good answer because it, says a lot.
But there have been guests who, I've been looking forward to. I'm like, wow, I never talked to this person before. And then, and I ask them questions, and they give me simple yes, no.
Monosyllabic answers.
Yeah, and they don't elaborate. And I'm like, oh, wow, what a letdown. But then again, it balances itself out because I've interviewed guests where I'm like, why did you book this person? Like, all right, whatever. You got to, somebody else canceled. It was last minute. But they hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got to get them back. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe the time ran out.
Yeah.
So it's that balance,
And, yeah. It's a tough job because, you have so many different people on all the time. And, you got to make it so that the show is listenable to.
Sure.
Is that even a word?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
yeah. Engaging?
Engaging. Yeah. 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 See, I don't know. That's tough. Every day, day in, day out. You do it every day.
But I try to bring things out of people I try to make them comfortable, especially if they're live in studio. And sometimes I'm, I think most of the time I'm successful, but there's been times when I think people will walk in with a preconceived notion where I don't want to do this. I don't even want to be here. I was forced to. It's part of my job. I got to do this. Or maybe they themselves are going through something personally and they're not the professional in broadcasting. So they wear, they wear their mood on their sleeve.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about that.
No, that's true. That's okay.
How's your week?
My week is good. My week's always good.
That's true. I do ask you that every week and you give me the same answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm boring. Sorry.
I didn't say you were boring.
Listen, I look at life very simply. I'm thankful I have a position that I enjoy. I'm thankful that for some reason they like me and they keep me around. I love working with families. I love working with the team that I've built. So I have no complaints. Yeah, life is good. With me, it's just always about health, trying to make sure everything's good, keeps working, moving forward. And as long as that's the case and God blesses me with good health, then I'm happy.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's actually the attitude to have.
Well, what other one are you going to take? Moan and cry and bitch about it? Oops, sorry, shouldn't say that. But moan and cry about everything?
Well, what's that going to get you?
Well, nothing. That's my point.
That'll exacerbate the problem.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Because then it goes into the mental side of things. And God knows we all need help with that.
Yet it's also a human element. People are going to cry. And
crying is fine. Let it be a justifiable reason. Not because you're so down on your life. Pick yourself up. Do something. Do something, even if it's wrong.
Each person, it takes a different amount of time. There's some people that They'll grieve for whatever, you know, for whatever there is that they're sad about. And a day or two, they pick themselves up by the bootstraps and they get dust themselves off and get back up on that horse. And they're fine. And then there's others who dwell in it and they, you know, a month has gone by and they're still. Look, it's all relative. I'm not talking about the loss of a child. OK, I'm talking, you know, something that's not as severe.
No. Well, listen. All right. If you're putting it in perspective of what my business is, that's a different story. And that has, you know, we've had very detailed discussions on the effects of grief and and how people react differently.
Well, just before Christmas we did.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. That's a little different. I mean, the daily business of living.
Oh,
the daily business
of
living life.
Yeah.
You know, do things. I mentioned this last week. You know, don't have energy. Do things with energy. You know, put everything you've got into whatever it is you're doing. And if you don't like what it is you're doing, do something else.
That's easier said.
Absolutely, it's easier said than done. But that means but you know what? Life ain't easy.
A lot of people feel they're stuck in a rut with either in a dead end job, a dead end marriage, dead end life. You know, and they'll tell you candidly, there's not much I'm looking forward to. There's not, you know, you said the word rut, and that's the word that they use. They're stuck in a rut, and it's not superficial where it's like, well, you know, if you don't like your drive home, then take a different route. That's one thing. But when you have you're committed in relationships or in employment because you've got to pay your mortgage, you got to feed your family. Sometimes it's
so. Why do you hate your job? The person. Why do you hate your job?
Well, you get
why
you ask 10 different people, you could get 10 different answers.
Right. So if whatever the answer is, change it, fix it, make it better.
I tell you this.
Take the effort to make it better. Listen, people. Oh, I don't want to say this. People accept too much. People blindly accept too much. They're afraid to take the step out for any number of reasons, some very justifiable, okay? But the reality of life is it's not easy. Nobody ever said it was going to be. And when the stuff hits the wall, you need to be there. And you need to step up, and you need to do what you have to do to make it better.
Want to hear something crazy?
Sure.
I know the VP, a former VP of one of the big insurance companies. By the way, not the VP of the insurance company, but a VP of a division. All right, making over $250,000 a year, just under $3,000 a year, $270,000 a year, and the stress was getting to her so much, so severely that she became ill, like physically ill. Doctor says the whole thing, the stress, the this, da 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 da, and says, I have a pretty good, I have a solution for you. You may not like it, but this is the beginning. You do this, and I bet you'll notice a difference. Asked to be transferred, asked for a different job. Hemmed and hawed over it. Okay, you don't understand what the money I'm making. Okay, that's fine. You think about it. She took his advice, took about a year for her to finally, you know, take advice. Completely changed job. Not just departments. Doesn't work there anymore. Works for, makes $75,000 a year.
And is happier than she's ever been in her life.
And then in her adult life, yes.
There you go. See, you know, we are all driven, especially the A-types, are driven by this need to exceed, excel, and be fruitful. And that's all positive. But you have to remember, what are the fruits that we're looking for?
That's a good question.
What is it that we're really trying to achieve? An increase in the bank account is not going to make you happy. In the long run, that never makes you happy. It may make the path to happiness a little bit easier sometimes. Okay, I'll go along with that.
Easier.
But it doesn't guarantee you in the end that it's happiness. And then there's, you know, so you're talking not only about the financial aspects, but also pride. People have so much pride, and pride is probably the biggest downfall of man, okay? Wow. I don't want to give up this job because, you know, people kowtow to me. Or I get invited to all the top places. I get the best seats. What is Christ? Be the guy washing the feet, not the guy whose feet are being washed.
Ooh.
Okay? I mean, that's, sure. You got to, look, the... The fight that goes on between pride and humility in the average person's life should actually be the most important battle that they face every day, because it is pride that ultimately is your downfall. And it's from many different levels. And it's humility that is ultimately your saving grace.
For many people, though, it's difficult for them to put their pride aside, cast their pride aside. You know, I mean, it's hard to give up things that you like. Speaking of which, Lent, we're about a month away from Lent, where you got people typically give up something that they like, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
So since that's the case, let's discuss maybe the importance of prayer, both public and private. I mean, how would you describe what praying is?
Wow.
I weren't expecting that.
Well, no, because praying to me is, it's a deeply personal experience. And it doesn't mean that, okay, I say a bunch of rote prayers. To me, prayer is a real conversation with God, sometimes one-sided, other times it's not. But to me, it's lifting of your mind and your heart to God. And for Catholics, I mean, it plays an essential role. Without a life of prayer, we really risk losing the life of grace in our souls, grace that comes to us from baptism, later chiefly through the other sacraments and through prayer itself. If you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it tells you that, you know, prayer allows us to adore God, and by acknowledging His mighty power, prayer allows us to bring our thanks, our petitions, our sorrows, and our sins before God. And we let Him handle it. And, you know, that's the thing people seem to forget. You know, there's always this big argument about confession. You know, why do I have to go to a man and tell him my sins? Well, guess what? You're not telling a man. He's the representative of Christ Himself. He's never even going to remember what your sins were when you walk out of there, okay? And why is that important? Because if you think, my favorite thing is, God, you know, God's never going to forgive me for this. Wrong. You have no concept about the unfathomable mercy of what God will do for you and how much He loves you. So you go to confession, you confess your sins. There's nothing that, first off, there's nothing that priest hasn't heard before. Hate to clue you. You ain't that special, okay? There is nothing that you are coming up with that this guy hasn't heard before. And secondly, if you think God hasn't heard it and He can't handle it, well, you're dead wrong. So prayer plays an important role, because what that does is opens our hearts up to the possibility of that humility that brings us before Him in the sacrament of confession, to open our hearts and then to receive the grace of the absolution and the grace of the sacrament itself. So, you know, while prayer is not a practice that's unique to Catholics, it tends to be formulaic in nature, okay? Because we have certain prayers that, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Church has developed over years and years and years. And they're part of they're grounded in our Catholic tradition. Our informal spontaneous prayers, both vocal and meditative, are informed by the prayers that we were taught by the Church.
All right, so there's prayers that we say in church, whether it's the act of contrition or the Lord's Prayer, which is otherwise known as the Our Father. You know, there's the Hail Mary. But then there's the personal prayer that's more, where those other prayers you could say in church collectively. Everybody's saying prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, everybody collectively in church. But then there's the personal prayers that you could say one-on-one to God.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a perfect example, okay? You just said the communal prayer of the Our Father. Everybody in church together. Our Father, right. We are in heaven. Okay, right. Guess what? Privately sit down with the Our Father and pray it one word at a time.
I've done that.
It's phenomenal.
It is.
Our. And then take in what that word means. And you're talking to the Almighty. So what does that mean? And then Father. Wow. Think about the word. Think about who you're referring to. Think about all the fathers that relates to. What is the meaning of that word Father in this? And you want to have a multi-hour experience of prayer that is deep, that is enriching?
Is that the most common prayer? What are the most common prayers in the Catholic faith?
Well, I mean, the most common one for Catholics is the sign of the cross. I mean, that's the first thing that you always say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
But usually
Amen.
That's the entrance, I would think.
That's a prayer.
That opens.
But that is a prayer. You know, it used to be the tradition.
Or closing.
Listen, it used to be the tradition when you walked by a church anywhere.
Yes.
You'd say, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. You're doing that not only as a sign of acknowledgement of the presence of God Himself within the tabernacle, but it's a prayer.
You know what?
Okay.
I don't think I do that anymore.
No. How many of us
Nobody
do?
Nobody does.
How many of us do? I do sometimes.
I did
when I can remember.
When I was a kid, I did.
When I was a kid, I did it all the time. Because if I didn't, my father would give me a whack up across the back of the head. Okay? So, yeah. So that's the sign of the cross. You mentioned the Our Father. As Catholics, the Hail Mary. Powerful.
Now, the Our Father for me is my favorite.
The Glory Be. Act of contrition prior to going to confession. The Rosary, the most powerful.
Well, we did a whole show on that.
And we could do two or three more. I mean, to me, the Rosary is people do not understand, because a lot of people have walked away and not done it maliciously, but society and life in general has kept us away from the thought process of sitting down and really praying. And what they don't really know, they don't realize the power of the Rosary. And when I say the power of the Rosary, you're asking the mother of a child to go to him on your behalf and help you out. What son refuses his mother?
Yeah.
Tell me.
When somebody tells you, though, or asks you, I can confess my sins to the man himself. It doesn't have to be to another sinner. The only one who doesn't sin is the only person that's perfect was the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there are priests who have sinned. Why not just take your sins and ask for forgiveness right to the man himself?
I think there's nothing the matter with doing that. But if you're a Catholic, we have a Catholic tradition. And we have a Catholic faith that tells us, in order to receive absolution, what did God say? Peter, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you say this is how it's going to be on earth, I'm going to honor that. And that's the way it's going to be. Christ himself talked about the value of going to confess your sins to the priest. Okay? It's what he told the woman at the fountain. It's what he told the people that weren't thanking him. Go confess. Tell no one, but confess your sins to the priest. Okay? He's the one who set up confession, not us. Well, guess what? We have to get over this whole thing of I can talk directly to God. Yes, you can. But that doesn't mean there's not rules that you have to follow. Okay? Because that's what our faith is made up of. A lot of people don't like organized religion because they don't like to follow rules. They think they know it all. Wrong answer. You don't. Humiliate. Have some humility. Be humble. Accept the fact that you don't know everything. Because I sure as hell don't, and I'm a pretty prideful son of a gun. Okay? I mean, I hate to admit that.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. What's the importance, since we're talking about prayers, what's the importance of the Apostles' Creed?
Oh, okay. So look, for centuries, the Apostles' Creed has stood among the most crucial Catholic Christian prayers, okay? Because it's a learning curriculum, side by side with the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. The Creed constantly reminds us of the central truths of our faith, and it clarifies the Bible's revelations on Jesus Christ and the impact of Christ on our redemption. So, for instance, I believe in God, boom, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That says a lot. In Jesus Christ, his only Son. What does that tell you? Believe that that's his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, right? The Lord, the giver of life, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. This is a complete reminder of everything that we believe in. So that's why it's so important that during Mass, the Creed is always said, because it is our affirmation. Yes, this is who we are. You just received the body and blood of Christ. What's the next prayer? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You know, this is what happens, right, after the whole communion, rite of communion. That's who we are. That's what we do. It is the most important prayer, because it is a summary of the faith. And we confess it together as a community, and we spread that authentic Christianity not only amongst ourselves, but to everyone that hears it, okay? It's hard for me to tell you how much that prayer means to me and to what it should mean to most people. And I'm not telling people how they should think. But, you know, when you want to talk about a prayer that has... There's very few things in the church's teachings that have influenced the history of our faith as much as that prayer, because it tells us everything that we need to believe.
How do Catholics pray?
Well, I think Catholics pray in many different ways. If you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it tells you three different ways that you pray. You can pray either vocally, you can pray either through meditation, or you pray through something called contemplative prayer, okay? Vocal prayer is just giving voice to the things that are stirring in our hearts and in our souls, okay? And it doesn't have to be something grand. It can be something as, thank you, God. That's a prayer. That's a vocal prayer. I get up in the morning, first words out of my mouth, thank you, God.
Right.
I'm here. Yeah. You know, no matter how bad the day might get, I'm here. You know, so if you gave it to me, I'm going to make the best of it. And then I pray for, you know, I have certain prayers that I do all the time for my kids and my wife and my grandkids and my other family. You know, I just got a whole litany of things, okay? And in the end, you just kind of say that, you know, what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, your will be done. So I pray for all these things, but in the end, not my will, but yours be done. So most Catholics learn these traditional prayers.
Where do they learn them? How do they learn? Where do Catholics learn how to pray? Through catechism when they're young?
Well, hopefully they're learning it at home.
Okay. Well,
I mean, that's the first thing. Yes. Don't even get me going down that road.
Okay. Okay? You're looking at me. And
don't get me.
You just read the expression on my face. I know it's radio. People can't see this.
And you know the expression on mine.
Yes. We're communicating non-verbally.
Yes, we are.
And I was going to go there, but we're running out of time anyways.
Look, you learn these prayers from the time you're young, okay? Sign of the cross, the Hail Mary, the Lord's Prayer,
right.
the mealtime blessing.
Sure.
Bedtime prayers, the Memorare, if you want to really get into it, to the Mother of God. These are the things you're supposed to be learning in your home so that when you go to church, you already know how to pray, you know, the basic minimums. So when you're at Mass, you know how to conduct yourself through Mass. We pray in groups, too. We pray individually. We pray in groups. You know, what did Jesus say? When two or more people are gathered, right? I am present with them. Well, that's it. You know, two or more people gather, we raise our minds and our hearts to God in prayer. That's called communal prayer. And it can be vocal, okay? Devotional prayers, novenas, litanies, the litany of saints, the litany of humility. I mean, there are so many wonderful prayers that the Catholic Church has. It's phenomenal that if people would take just a little time and start to research some of it, they'd start to understand the depth, the beauty of our faith. Then you've got meditation. Meditation is to reflect or think about God. I told you, take the Our Father one word at a time. That's a reflective meditation, okay? And then contemplation, contemplative prayer, is when we just rest quietly in God's presence. You sit in the church, either in adoration with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, or you sit in the church staring at the tabernacle.
Can you pray in the mind only? Can you think?
Of course.
And God hears what you're thinking.
Of course. That's what we call contemplative prayer. It's wordless silence. We're aware that he's with us. And that's our prayer.
It seems like we're living in an era where people will come up with all the excuses in the world for not developing a prayer life or even time to pray. Everybody's so busy and wrapped up in themselves, right?
Isn't it amazing how that the one thing that we seem to throw by the wayside is the one that created us?
Right. Isn't well?
How is that possible?
That shouldn't be.
But that's, you know. But we've got a lot of forces at work against us.
People are less religious now than they were
ever.
Just ever. In our previous generation.
Ever. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? I'm not going to say all parents, but, you know, part of the problem is the breakdown of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an inordinate amount of single-parent households. And, you know, oh, yeah, I don't want to hear all about, oh, you know, strong woman, strong man. I don't want to hear any of that garbage, okay? A family is a family. Family is a father, a mother, children. That's a family.
Listen, I'm running out of time, but I got to ask you one key question,
what?
Though. I can't let this show go by without asking you to offer some suggestions for developing a prayer life. And I know this, you only have about 2 minutes, but I'll, you know, or 2.5 minutes up, but I'll give you every second of that to answer that question.
Okay. To me, developing a prayer life is all about attitude. Okay. You have to have a basic attitude that has good disposition and perseverance. Those are the two things that I think are key to learning how to pray.
Okay.
All right. So your attitude, one, has to be of humility. You're going to be there. You're going to pray. And it's going to grow in your life rather than stagnate your life. So your disposition towards prayer has to be with humility and with faith. Second, perseverance. It's not necessary that you learn how to pray as much as it is that you continue to do it. Okay? So you're going to learn because, you know, my prayer could be, thank you, God, in the morning. God, thanks for the day. You know, here's the things I'm facing. I really need your help with it. But in the end, whatever you think is best for me is what I'm going to accept.
It's in your hands anyway.
Okay?
Yeah.
What and that's be, a prayer. But you do it every day. That's perseverance. If you do those things, that's what helps develop, in my mind, the fundamental foundation of prayer, and it makes it easier. And then when you get to that point, a few things. Sprinkle a few quick prayers throughout the key parts of the day. Okay? You get up in the morning. Right. We said that already. All right? Lunchtime comes. Hey. Bless the Lord for these thy gifts we're about to receive from a bountiful hand. So Christ our Lord. Amen. Quick. How long did that take? Less than 5 seconds.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
Thank you, God, for the food I'm getting. You know. That's it. And then always develop an awareness of presence of God. Know he's always with you. Know he's around you. You see, there's a guy, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, you know? Never mind. We don't have enough time. There's a lot of things I could talk about with this.
Well,
prayer is one of my favorites. We got to talk more about it in the future.
Happy to. Get plenty of time. It's
all right.
A great topic for of me as well.
Time for you to do that great wrap-up you do.
I better hurry up. Folks, if you'd like more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, it's very easy to obtain. I'll tell you what. They got a really cool, sophisticated, updated website. I would start there. www.ccacem.org. All right, ccacem.org. If you've got a question you'd like to have asked right here on these very airwaves, you know what you can do. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if others had the same question but were afraid to reach out to us. Why don't you take the initiative and email us your question? Very easy to do. ccawdrc@gmail.com. And we'll try to get your question answered right here on these very airwaves as soon as next weekend. How's that? And if you, of course, you'd like to schedule an appointment with the Catholic Cemeteries Association, very easy to do, my friends. In fact, they got a toll-free number. How's this? 800-505-0050. Again, toll-free, 1-800-505-0050. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.